The Mashpia, Rav Weinberger, at this point, of course, needs no introduction in the yeshiva, but it is certainly kedai. It is certainly kedai as he gives is here for the first time in this new year to remind ourselves how lucky we are to have him as part of the yeshiva and to thank him for uplifting us with his presence and his Torah. But I did want to introduce tonight because there's a special dedication tonight of Rav Weinberger's Sicha in memory of Rabbi Mordechai Krieger. Last year we had a series of shiurim here in the yeshiva sponsored by Rabbi Krieger, and we were supposed to have another such shiur, at least now during Elul and Tishrei, and since the last time that we had a shiur, actually Rabbi Krieger joined us for the shiur in June, before Shavuos with Rav Willig, and was nifter since the last shiur. We're a little bit past the shloshim. Rabbi Krieger is not a musmach of our yeshiva, but a musmach. His son, Naftali, was a Talmud in our yeshiva. He had a very prominent chavrusa when he was here. Some of you may know him, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, who was his chavrusa when he was here. Rabbi Krieger Sr. Is truly a person who embodied what the yeshiva is about, and that is to go out into the world. Rabbi Krieger was successful in his parnasa. But he also wrote more than 20 Svarim. His focus, you may have seen his Svarim, the Chasdei Hashem, Svarim on Agadata, on the Ein Yaakov, and certainly embodied the spirit of the yeshiva to go out into the world, but to have Torah learning remain our focus. Whether we're in Avodas HaKodesh, whether we're in Avodas Chol, someone who had a very successful business and was able to write over 20 Svarim, as someone who we're very proud to be able to have tonight's lecture in his memory soon after the Shloshim, and his neshama should have an aliyah. Rav Weinberger.
My dear friend of Apano, Rebellion, Chaveirim. I want to speak about the schus that we have to be here where we are right now and the time that we're in right now. And I want to begin, at least mitzidi, the zman, the dvarim pshutim ma'od, very, very pashut, very simple. It's a strong hergish of hakaras hatov for me personally to be connected to the yeshiva, and I want to share that with you, what that means to me, and what I hope it will mean to you as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in the second parak, speaks about individuals who are choylei hanefashos. Choylei hanefashos, people who are not well. The Rambam says choylei hanefashos, he doesn't necessarily refer to people who are emotionally imbalanced, people who are spiritually unwell. And how does he define this? He speaks about people, Jews, who taste that which is bitter as something which is sweet, and that which is sweet as something which is bitter. The same way we see by Chali Haguf, that when a person, Chalila, is not well, is physically sick, that the time he doesn't have the kind of food that he normally would enjoy tastes bitter. And things that normally he wouldn't have our healing, and so on. Everything is off. So the Rambam writes, Kach b'nei Adam sh'naf sh'seyem choylois. And there are people who are choylei ha'nefoshes. And mis'avim v'oyhavim ha'deyois ha'ro'ois. They have a desire and a love for deyois ra'os. For deyos midas ra'os, deyos midas. For all that is wrong, they have a taiva and a hava for the soinim haderech hatayv, and they despise the derech hatayv. And the Rambam goes on a little bit, and he says, "V'chein Yeshayo oimer v'anoshim halolu." And the Novi Yeshaya said regarding these people, in the fifth parak. There are people in the world who look at something which is ra, which is evil, and they see it as good. And they look at things that are good, and they see them as evil. They have a way of changing darkness into light. V'or l'chayshech, and light into darkness. Samamar l'mosak, u'mosak l'mar. They have a way of taking that which is sweet and making it bitter. And that which is bitter and making it sweet, understanding, interpreting it as being something which is sweet. Tasting sweetness in something which is bitter. Any person in our time, not Davke a Ben Bris, I feel an Einar Ben Bris, but a person who has a little bit Seichel Das, a little bit of a chush of what it means to be a human being, knows and feels. They were living in a time where Or is Choshech, that which is beautiful, that which is lichtig, which is shiny, which is good and right, is seen as something which is dark, bad, and evil. And those things that are ugly and distorted, polluted and filthy, the whole world is running after. There's a hav and a taiva for all of those things. That we're living mamish in a metzias of an ahav eichul, not just on Purim. It's a gansio Purim. It's Purim all year. You don't have to go far. And everyone here knows this, that in many ways the world is sick in the way that the Rambam is describing. Physically, the world has never been healthier. People are living longer than ever before. But the world is heavily populated by Choylei HaNefashos. Choylei HaNefashos. Now the Rambam was a doctor. And the Rambam wrote a prescription, not only for medical ailments, but he wrote a prescription for Jews who are suffering from machlas ha-nefesh, from some spiritual sickness, deficiency. The Rambam wrote a prescription. Yelchu eitz l'chachamim. The prescription is Yelchu eitz l'chachamim, to turn to the chachamim. Shehein roifei hanefashos. The Tamil Chachamim, Tzadikim, Rosh Hashivas, Rebbes, Tzadikim, roifei hanefashos. The Yirapu chol yom b'deyois shemalam demaisa. And the Chachamim will be able to bring healing to the choylei hanefesh. Until they can be brought back to Derech HaTayv. So let's spend just a few minutes trying to understand, very, very pashut, to understand this Eitzah. One of the greatest Reifei Nefashos who ever lived gave then, and how we have to live by this now as well. Soon, in a few days, at least according to the Minhag of Ashkenaz, we're going to add in our davening twice a day, the Dovr Hashem Arevi Yish. And there, Dovr Malki Mashiach says, Achas Shoalti Meis Hashem Oisa Avakesh, Shirti Bibes Hashem Kali Mechayai, Lach Zayis Benoyim Hashem Olavaki Beicholai. There's one thing I ask from Hashem. Shirti Bibes Hashem, all the days of my life to be in Hashem's house, and Lach Zayis Benoyim Hashem, and so on. So the Medrash says that this became a strange little conversation between Dovr Melech and the Bari Olam. Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu LaDavid. The Bari Shalom says to David, "B'tchila amarta achas shoalti shivti b'beis Hashem." You began your request in a very, very modest way, and you said, "There's one thing that I'm asking for." Achas shoalti b'beis Hashem. There's one thing which is shivti b'beis Hashem. V'chazarta v'armata, and as it's often when it comes to our people, I was just mentioning to the Chevra and Shul the other day, this happens very often, especially this time of the year, I have to speak in different places, and one of the guys from the Shul makes the arrangements from before, months before, that I'm going to speak to this place and that time, and then usually a day or two before, then the last, once Rabbi Weinberg is in this town, maybe he'll already be able to speak to the boys in yeshiva. And once he's already on the block of the boys' yeshiva, the girls' yeshiva is only two blocks away, and around the corner is a karl, it would be a terrible shame not to already meet the chevra from the karl. And when you go from the back of the karl, there's another shul, and that rabbi will be very insulted. You know, you understand. So the Baruch Shem says to David HaMelech, this is how we do things. We've gotten through history doing this. And the Baruch Shem says to David, I don't understand. You asked Achas Shoalti Meis Hashem. Shivti Beis Hashem. And then you go on. Lachs Tevinam Hashem, Levaki Beichola. It's the Medrash, Hashem is Baruch Yes. Then you have a whole list of stuff. Omer Lefono. So David HaMelech says, Takarish Baruch Hu. I have a good Rebbe who taught me how a Jew should talk. Rebbeinu Shloim, lo yehi eved shovel l'rabbi? Lo yehi eved shovel l'rabbi? Should the servant, myself, should I be any different than my Rebbe? Hashem? B'tchila lo yibosa aleinu elo ba'achas. The parsha we just learned on Shabbos. You began with one request. Shnemar, as it says, v'ati Yisrael ma Hashem l'kesh onolo. V'ati Yisrael ma Hashem l'kesh onolo. And now, what is it that Hashem asks of you? And it says, Ki'im li'ira. One thing, Ki'im li'ira. I'm asking you to be a Yerei Shemayim. That's one thing that the Baruch Hashem asks of a Jew. V'chakach pasachta lonu b'mitzvah ha'beish nema. The Baruch Hashem says, once I have you ready, I also insist, l'aleches b'chol drachov, l'adav kebay, l'shmor mitzvayisav. So you began with an achas shoalti. The Baruch Hashem, you yourself began, v'at yisrael, ma Hashem l'kechah shoal mi'imach ki'im li'ira. You asked, you said, I'm only asking you for one thing. And then you continued on with a whole rishima, a list. Da'yel le'evid li'eskir rabbi. Why should the Evid be any different from his Rabbi? I learned from you that you begin with one and then you try to get everything. That's what I learned. The Parshas, of course, here is, and this is in the Kuda Hapnimus of what I want to talk to you about. The Parshas is that really, when David HaMelech was asking, Achashualti, Meis Hashem, Ois Avakesh, and Achashualti is Shitru, Veis Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayai, Rabbi Shem, all I'm asking from you is that I should be able to spend my life in your home. I should be able to spend my life in the Beis HaMedrash. I should be able to make my own house when I'm married and with children, that my house should be a Beis Hashem. The Velach Zayz B'Noyim Hashem, the Levaka Be'echola, and the whole capital over there in Telem, those are not separate and independent, different requests that David HaMelech is asking for. The emes is, he's asking for one thing, achashualt. When he says, ki tzbineni b'suko b'yom ra, he's saying, Rabban Shalom, the world is mushuga. The world is crazy. The world is filled with choylei nefesh. Mamash. Ha'oimim la'or ha'choyshech. La'choyshech or. Mar masoik. Masoik mar. The whole world is a big v'nahafaychuk. And there's only one way that I'm able to make it through this world. Ki yisbeneni b'suka b'yoyim ra. Yastireni b'seisa ahola. Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking you to take me into your home. To take me into your sukkah. The request, this request of you, ki yisbeneni b'suka, to hide me in your sukkah, to hide me in your dwelling place. It's a hemshech, it's all one bakosh. Because Don Mach is saying that in this world, there's one bias, there's one sukkah. But no matter what's going on in life, no matter what the world smells like outside, no matter what's happening in anyone's neighborhood, family, no matter what's happening in the Congress, the Senate, what's happening in Europe, in Asia, there's a mitzias al derech moshel, which is not a really a good moshel, but a little bit of a moshel, the same way that when a person, you're an American citizen, and you find yourself in some third world country, so then kula hai, it's possible if you can make it to the American consulate, right? That in that one place, the American consulate, that when you go into that place, the avira is not the avira of the rechov, of the street, whether it's in India or whether it's someplace in Pakistan, wherever that is. The avira in that one place of the American consulate is an avira of your home, of where you come from, if you're a person who comes from America. When you go to the American consulate, there's me'ain, that place that you come from. In the middle of that world, in which you're a complete and absolute foreigner. So too, the place that you and I are sitting in right now, this place that we're in, this Beis HaMedrash, Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. This isn't an American consulate. This isn't a little piece of Washington, D.C. in Washington Heights. The place that we are in right now, and not only our Beis HaMedrash, of course I mean any Beis HaMedrash. The place that we're in right now is a consulate, is a place where or is or. Where every minute that we're here, even though outside we get confused and we forget. But in this place, what is good is good. What is bad is bad. What is sweet is sweet. What is bitter is bitter. I think some of you might know that there was a meeting that took place Between the Satmar Rav, it was just as Yahrzeit today. Between the Satmar Rav Shlusi Gelayno and the Chazon Ish Shlusi Gelayno. That those two tzaddikim met in Bnei Brak. They were very, very anxious to see each other. They were coming from very, very different worlds, different backgrounds. But they were two of the tzaddikim that were holding up not only their generation, but many generations. And there was a conversation that led to a different Rambam in those days. In the sixth parak. And the Satmar Rav was explaining to the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wanted to hear more about the Satmar Rav's hashkafa of how to deal with the situation of our times back after the Milchama. And I think that you all know that the approach of the Satmar Rav was one of isolation. That the only way that's possible to somehow survive this last phase of Golus is by creating separate world within the world of America. And to the best of our ability to isolate ourselves from the general population, to hold on to the clothing, the language, and so on, the mannerisms, the culture of what once was before the Holocaust. And then Kulei Hai, the Satmar Rebbe said to Chazon Ish, will be able to bring up some in a new generation of Yiras Shamayim. And the Rebbe quoted from the Rambam Nochas Deis, Ki derech b'yosu shel odom liyos nimshach b'deyosav u'b'maisav achareya v'chaveirov. It's the nature of a human being to be very much influenced and drawn after his friends, the people where he lives. And noyeg kiminhag anshe midinasa. And to be noyeg like the minhag of the people where he lives. And then the Rambam tells us different aces of how to deal with the situation where your environment is not holy. But ultimately the Rambam says, if the people of the local people are unusually evil and sinful, then the Rambam says, then even if one has to leave, to go away from the world, and to live in a midbar, to live in a desert or in a cave, he must do so. So the Satmar Rav used this Rambam as the basis of his mahalach, of how to be mechanech the new generation after the war. And the Chazon Ish said to the Satmar Rebbe that the Bate Knesiyos and the Bate Midrashos, the shuls and the yeshivas of our generation, hein hamidbari, the shuls and the Bate Midrashos of our generation are the deserts to where a person, a Jew, must now run. And that's exactly what David Melch was asking for. There's so many things going on in the world. Even here, the Mesa Medrash, for reasons that are L'Shem Shemayim, technology in a certain way has crept into the world of the Mesa Medrash. When I was growing up, and I was in the Mesa, well, we didn't have this Mesa Medrash then, but when I was in the Mesa Medrash, a Gemara was a Gemara that had a certain smell and had pages, you remember? You could turn them. Some of you still have some of those. The outside world, Olamovis, death in many ways has crept into our world as well. And Dovid HaMelech is saying, Rabbi Shalom, there's only one way. Not to run away and live by yourself in a cave in a mountain. Not even to necessarily isolate yourself from the rest of the world. To be in the world. But Don Amach said, I'm asking you for one thing. If Rabbi Shalom, if I have that Beis HaMedrash in my life, no matter what craziness I'm going through, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter how broken, how hurt I am by what's happening to me outside in the world, I'm asking you for one thing. Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking for you to give me this chus, to carve out in my life one place that hopefully will be connected to your home, where you'll, Mitzvah Shem, all have your wives and children. But to have that place of Beis HaMedrash, Shifti B'Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayim, to have a Beis HaMedrash, to have a Rebbe, not just a Rebbe that you ask a difficult taisis, but a Rebbe who you ask about the difficulties of life. Like the Rambam says, that the Chachamim are the Roifei HaNefesh, and about Tei Knesiyos and about the Midrashos of our times, are there a Miklat, which is one of the Kavanos of Elul, I'm sure many of you know, or the Ari Miklat of our generation, of our time. That even if Chalila last night, or this morning, my own eyes were Chalila looking at something they shouldn't have seen. My own mind was in a place where it shouldn't have been. Or Chalila, my legs carry me to somewhere where a Jew should never be. Whatever was last night, whatever was an hour ago. Not only am I not embarrassed to come to Beis HaMedrash, but I run to the Beis HaMedrash because here is that one place where, like Rabbi Nachman said, has an avir zach v'nak. With the air in the Beis HaMedrash is zach v'naki. It's pure, it's clean. If you and I would feel the Kedusha of the Beis HaMedrash, every word we'd be so careful what we'd be speaking about, to be so careful with every thought, every word in this place. Chazal say, on the posting of Matoy V'Lecha Yaakim, Mishkin Ezech Yisrael, Chazal make a connection between that pasuk in the context of where it's found over there in Pashas Bo, by the Nevuah of Bilam. And it says in pasuk, in the Cholim Natoy, that somehow the Oyhalei Yaakov, which are the Bate Medroshes and the Bate Knesiyas, and Jewish homes, shuls, yeshivas, and homes, the pasuk says, in the Cholim Natoy, that they're like rivers that flow, that are planted in our lives. These rivers. So Chazal say, in Tonev Eli Rabbi, Chazal say, Mati even shall necholim eitzel bati midrashos. What's the connection in the pasuk between rivers, between a nachal and a beis hamedrash? Elaman necholim yordim b'nei adam l'toychan k'shein t'mein. The same way by a nachal. When you're standing on the foot, on the edge of the Nachal, it could be the Chalila, your Tomei, it could be with the Tuma Chamur, the Tuma Smeis, with the Avi Ovis Atuma, when you're standing on the edge of that water. When you're on the edge of that water, you're infected with the impurity of the world outside of that water. V'toivlin v'arlin mitaychan kishahin tahirin. And then you are toivel, you immerse in the river, kinecholim natoy, matoyvul echa Yaakov. You immerse, you're toiveling in that river. Kshein tohoyr, kach batim edroshes, So Chazal says, so it is with the Beis HaMedrash. B'nei Adam nechnosen l'toychon k'shehen t'melein avaynot. A Jew walks into Beis HaMedrash, outside of Beis HaMedrash, as hard as he tries. A Jew outside of Beis HaMedrash feels, Rebbein Shalom, I'm molei avaynot. I am filled with filth, with impurity. The yoytzim itoychon k'shehen tahay. Chevre, when you come to Beis HaMedrash, you don't walk in and sit down. You toivel in the Beis HaMedrash. I once mentioned to the Chevre here a year or two ago that the Heilige Rishner, the Holy Rishner, that when he was on Simchas Torah, the Rishner, the way that he was dancing, that he was going very far down, and then he would stand up, and it was a strange dance. And he was dipping down and standing up. And the Chassidim asked him, what kind of a dance? Is that a new dance? And the Rishner said, what do you mean? Omer Rabbi Akiva, Shreichem Yisrael. Lifting me out to Matami Matahas. What? Mikveh? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. He says, the Baruch Shalom's mikveh is called Yisrael. And I'm among Jews, and I'm toiveling amongst you. That's what he said. When he was with other Jews, he was toiveling in the mikveh that's called Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. The Baruch Shalom's mikveh is called Yisrael. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. That when you walk into Beis HaMedrash, it's Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. You walk in, Chalila, Machshava, Diba, Maisa, a person can be Molei, Molei Avoinus, Chalila. V'yoysim etarchin k'shehen tahar. And when you leave, while you're there, you're able to toivel in that mikveh of Torah, in that mikveh shreichem Yisrael, to be with like-minded people, who even though you come from so many different backgrounds, you all want one thing, to toivel in Hashem's mikveh. That's all that you want, is to be toivel in Hashem's Yisrael's mikveh. I once told you a maisa about there was a tzaddik in the Lodz Gedol of the Radishitz Rebbe Sfusiyeh Lane. And it was Erev Yom Kippur. The Germans in Maximum had closed down all of the mikvahs in Lodz. Not closed the lock, they put cement to close down all the mikvahs. And it was Erev Yom Kippur, so there was no place to toivel. And it was after the curfew at night. And this tzaddik, the Radishitz Rebbe, was someplace in a bunker, hiding, whatever. And all of a sudden, the bracha comes and says, Radishitz Rebbe, there's a mikveh in Lodz. But it's top secret. And the only people who are allowed to know are the few remaining Rosh Hashivas and Rebbes. And I was sent, and he mentioned some Rosh Hashiva Rebbe, I don't remember who, to tell the Rebbe that where this is, Jews have to always have an Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? All the mikvahs are cemented closed. So Jews went into a basement, and with spoons and forks and little knives, they made a mikveh. They made a hole from one basement going to the adjacent building where downstairs there was a mikveh. And only the rabbis and yeshivas are allowed to come, but it's at the risk of your life, because to go after curfew, the second you get seen, they shoot you. So the Radishitz said, a mikveh Erev Yom Kippur. And the one who told the story was his shamas who went with him. The Rebbe did not survive the war, but the shamas did. And he said they had to crawl through the streets of the ghetto. And they went down into this basement where Jews were hiding. And they saw there was, and the Rebbe said, the shamas said when they came down the stairs, there were hundreds of people with candles. It was a secret, you know. A secret is what you tell one Jew at a time. It's called the secret. So there were hundreds of Jews with candles. Each one risked his life to go to this mikveh. And the Rebbe stood on the stairs and he began to cry. He saw they would give a Jew a lift and they'd push him into the, and there was another Jew on the inside, and he said, schnell, schnell. He toiveled, and quickly to come, they'd have to pull him through this hole that they had to dig with their fingers and with spoons and knives into the mikveh. And the Rebbe said, is there anybody like Am Yisrael? Is there such a thing that their wives, their children, everybody's dead, everybody, their parents killed, there's nothing left, and it's Erev Yom Kippur, and all the Jew could think of is how somehow to get into a mikveh. Because Omer Rabbi Akiva, Shrechem Yisrael, Lifnei Miatim Etarim, Umim Etahar Eschem. Avichem, That at the risk of their lives, all they want is tahara. A little bit of tahara. I know many of you have now come back from Eretz Yisrael. There must be chevra that are here now, right after Eretz Yisrael. Most of you were here already from before and came back from Eretz Yisrael. But even the ones who came back last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm already back in America for over 40 years. I mean, I go a lot to visit, but I'm living here already for 40 years. And I'm still heartbroken over being here. So those of you who have just come back from Eretz Yisrael, you know the Rabbi Yehuda Levi, when he wrote in Sinai Halas, the Shal, we just said by the Kinas, about Eretz Yisrael Chai in the Shomas, Avir Aretzai. And everybody, every single one of you knows the Gemara in Megillah, and Chazal speak about it in many places, and there are many Hakeshim, which has a very big influence upon Halacha, between what? A Beis HaKnesset, a Beis HaMedrash, and Eretz Yisrael, and a Beis HaMikdash. And how is it possible, the Gemara talks about in the first paragraph of Brochus, that there are Sabe, how could it be that there are old people in Bovel? It says, Liman Yibru Yimechim, 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 Allah Adama. Allah Adama means what? Allah Adama means Eretz Yisrael. So how could there be old Jews in Chutz Laretz? You can Sabe in Bovel, how could it be Sabe in Bovel? How could there be old people in Bovel? So Gemara's answer, they told Rabbi Yochanan, is Kevin, the Amrlei, Mekadmi, Mechashka, the Beknishta, Mahainu da Hanilu. Because they get up early to go to Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses. And because they leave late at night, the Beis HaMedrash. So they fit into that Adam. In other words, where we are right now, it makes no difference what's outside. It makes no difference what the signs are showing, what lights are lighting up. It makes no difference who is walking outside. It makes no difference. The world outside is or, choshech, choshech, or. But in this place, the Gemara is saying, it's called, L'man yibu yimech v'vevenechem al ha'adoma. This is Admas Kodesh. And it has to be treated that way. And you have to feel that way. And you have to remember this original who gave you the Torah. It's not a matter of just being smarter than your chavrusa. But what we're doing in this place is the toivul in Hashem Yisbarach's Torah. The toivul in Kodesh Brich Hu Shchinta. The toivul in Hashem Yisbarach. The toivul in Am Yisrael. No matter what you're going through outside this place, when you walk into this place, you should feel Yastireinu B'Seisar O'Holoi Yitzbeneinu B'Sukai. Rabbi Shlomo, I want to thank you. Because the whole world is meshuga. The whole world is or choshech, choshech, or. And you have given me this chus to enter into this consulate of the Yeshiva Shomar. Not Washington. A consulate of Yerushalayim Shomar. Al Hadom. You know, in the introduction to the Zohar Kodesh, in the Hakdama there, Rabbi Shimon Lechoi speaks about a certain yeshiva. It's called the Yeshiva's Mesivta Heichol de Mashiach. There's a Heichol, the Mesivta Heichol de Mashiach, there's a Beis HaMedrash that's called the Beis HaMedrash of Mashiach Sekeik. Don't raise your hands now. It could be that there are Bachim here. That maybe it happened that there was a yeshiva that didn't accept you once. Could be. You all look like you're smart. You all look like you're well behaved. It could be that there's somebody here that was rejected by Beis HaMedrash. Today I was on the phone for at least 7 hours trying to get guys back into yeshivas that they were thrown out of. That's what I did the whole day today. That's all I was doing today. So how do you get into the Mesifta of Mashiach Zekein? It's a good question, no? What's the bechina to get into the mesifta of Mashiach Zekein? Hey, chol the Mashiach. So if you look in that Dome of the Zohar Kodesh, it doesn't say that you have to know a Masechta Baal Peh. It doesn't say that you have to have an SAT score, a certain SAT or an IQ. It doesn't even say that you have to be somebody that never smoked any weed in your life. It doesn't say anything about any of that stuff. Not that I'm saying that's good, you understand. But it doesn't say anything about that stuff. This is the entrance exam to the Beis HaMedrash of Mashiach Sekei. I'm telling you this halacha l'maisa, because it's going to be now. Man min chayin d'chashucha mahabchen l'nahayr. Rabbi Shimon said, man min chayin, any of you who knows how to change darkness into light, the tamen merir l'miska, and to change bitterness into sweetness, you're in. Thus is thus. That's the entrance exam. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He knew how to give a bechina, you know that. He was very smart. And Rabbi Shimon said, to get into my Beis HaMedrash, maybe they won't let you into somebody else's Beis HaMedrash. But to get into the Heichel, the Mesifta, Heichel, the Meshicha, is if you're a person that not only can you identify the light that is light, and that the dark, the evil is evil, but you have the ability to change that which is dark into light, and you have the ability to change bitterness into sweetness. Because if you're a Jew of Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, not only do you breathe, inhale the atmosphere that Zach V'Naki of Yerushalayim, not only are you able to straighten out your eyes, your heart, your head, to see darkness as dark, and to see the light as light, and to see what's sweet as sweet and bitter as bitter. But it's more than that. The whole tachlis of our neshama is coming to this world. Nisavik is baruch, Elias is baruch, Dibes HaKadosh to come into this world, and to fill this world with the light of HaKadosh Baruch, to change the darkness into light, to change the bitterness into sweetness. And there's only one way to do that. Tuvul arayis, to return to Hashem's Baruch Tayyar. To come to the Beis HaMedrash, to come to that place, to hold on to that place. It's already late, I was going to tell you a longer story, but there's no time, I'll tell you a little story. A little story. Some of you must have heard of Mendel Vitebska, Mendel Vitebska was one of the earliest of the Talmidim, the Talmidim Baal Shem, from the Mizrachim Agetz Chabura. And you know that he led a whole Chabur of Chassidim, and they moved to Eretz Yisrael. They went to Eretz Yisrael. Have any of you been by the Tzion, by his kevin? He's buried in Tveria. That's where the first yeshuva of the Chassidim was, in Tveria. And Rav Mendel Vitebska was once sitting in his room learning, and there was a very, very big tumult outside, because what happened was that there was a yid that was blowing the shofar somewhere. And you understand, at that time when people were very, very big maminim and very pashit, they believed that it was the shofar shel Mashiach. And there was a tremendous, tremendous commotion, and Rav Mendel Vitebska didn't know what such a noise outside. And people came running in, knocking on the door, and Rav Mendel Vitebska asked, what's going on? And they said, Rebbe, you didn't hear. He says, what? He says, the Shofar Mashiach is here, because there's a Kabbalah also with Tveri. It's in heaven, they first come to Tveri. The Rambam brings down. So they heard the Shofar Shel Mashiach, and they said to Rav Mendel Vitebska, Mashiach is here, we heard the Shofar. So Mendel Vitebska said, whoa, it's exciting. And he went over to the window, and he opened the window, and he put his head outside the window, and a shmek, like this, he smelled. And he went back inside, and he says, no, it's not Mashiach. It's not here. It's not here. And then he just continued learning. So afterwards, the Chassidim were talking about, like, what was that? The big question was, why did the Rebbe have to lean out the window to smell what was outside on the street? If he had such a koyach, like Mashiach will have, the koyach of smelling, Yerah Shemayim, of smelling a new world, then why did he have to lean outside? So the Chassidim said, because inside by Amanda Lutepska, Mashiach had already come. You understand? Because in that place, in that room, it already smelled from the smell of Mashiach. Okay. Chevra, Hashem's Baruch should help to open your minds and your hearts. If you remember who gave the Torah, and you stop every now and then and thank Him for bringing you into this world, that you have the schus to be in this place and to learn Torah, you'll be zoiche shifty b'ves Hashem kol yemei chayil. In this place, you'll be zoiche to have a little bit of that smell. But how is it possible that everything that's bitter can be sweet? How is it possible that all of the darkness can be changed into light? Hashem's Baruch should help us that on that day we should all be together, and together with our B'Samedrash here, we should be zoiche with all the Bat Midrashas wherever they are in the world to return to Yerushalayim, the Blashav Amitis, Mehavi Amin Amin Amin.
I want to especially thank the